Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I was supposed to play some audio here, wasn't I? Doesn't matter. Imagine that I just played a fantastic play, one of the many from your Houston Texans getting a 20-16 victory. Oh, there was a lot of them. I showed you John Lopez because apparently, I don't know, maybe the Thanksgiving food got me acting right.
I took
the best notes that
this
I've ever taken.
Color coding is
watching
notes.
A Texans football game. It's color coded. It is great notes, in depth on every play.
We need to wait for the next year, the beginning of the next year, to start being more organized now.
Why put off till tomorrow what you can do today, baby? You know what I mean? Like, why not get it together? And this was a perfect game to get it together because there was so much to see. But one of those things that was there to see was, one, C.J. Stroud returning to football after missing three football games, if you don't include the game that he was knocked out of with that concussion. And so, especially with Davis Mills handling things well, the team going 3-0 while he was starting, there was a lot of conversations, if you might remember.
It kind of got scary on Wednesday, right?
Oh, yeah.
It did. It did a little bit.
It's just like, wait, he still didn't clear protocol?
Still didn't clear, but he did clear. He got out there on the field. So, let's talk about it. How did CJ look to you? What did it feel like watching him play? 713-572-4610.
How did it feel like to you? Because I was relaying this earlier. The first quarter, it ended up being rust, and it was clear that it was rust, and that's what CJ talked about afterwards. He had to knock some off.
All the way it felt like it was rust? I think some of the stuff definitely felt like rust. There were some things that made me kind of raise an eyebrow.
Well, the bad throws, that could be interpreted either way.
Including the Cam Brown, or the Cam Bynum, rather, interception, and where he airmails.
Sailed it.
Xavier
Hutchinson. Yeah, he just sailed it. And there was one, I think, low and to the right to Nico. Anyway, off target early.
Yeah.
And then there was the organization at the line of scrimmage, which I feel like maybe, as you pointed out, that could be put on him a little bit. And I was just like, oh, no. Prepare for the Davis Mills truthers. One of which was sitting next to me. One of whom was
they were gearing up, man.
Janza Davis Mills Truther?
No, she was in the moment. In the moment, I was saying, like at the start, in that game.
Oh, that's just fans being reactionary, right?
And I texted to you just flat out, out of the clear blue, he sucks. I was like, what?
What they've been talking about?
You heard me. You heard me.
What have they been talking about in the teacher's lounge over at the school, man?
I was like, he sucks? That came out of nowhere. And then, of course, and then the third quarter, she's like, okay, maybe he doesn't suck that much.
Good. Sometimes you need that clarity. I see you. 281, this is what I was thinking of. C.J. Stroud throwing that interception was him trying to force a big play. That was what made me raise an eyebrow, because one of the things that I thought you could attribute to Davis Mills was just kind of going with the flow of what the offense is, an embrace of what Nick Caley and I believe D'Amico Ryans want from this offense, which is just don't ask for too much. Death by a thousand cuts in a non-derogatory, right, in a congratulatory way. Sometimes it feels like, and we've noted this, C.J. Stroud, when he talks about the status of this offense being something like a death by a thousand cuts, just trying to make the right read, sometimes it felt like he was longing for throwing the football deep. And sometimes it felt like he was being somewhat derogatory to the idea of, hey, you just take these shots. And so early on in the game, we're seeing them, in the first couple of drives, throwing the ball deep, to a Nico Collins who's double covered and stuff.
Out.
It almost felt, I almost asked myself, because I know Nick Haley's going to call these plays, right? Mm-hmm. But in my head, I was like, how much of that is C.J. Stroud, you know, putting his thumb on the scale either explicitly or implicitly? Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to drive the ball downfield. And it didn't, it wasn't working, and it honestly caused, you know, some bad plays. And I was like, is he embracing this? But it felt like as the game went on, he did settle into just taking what was there for him. Sometimes to the point where I was like, oh, is he doing too much to take underneath and just throw it to Dalton Schultz as opposed to find something in the intermediate? But he found that level as it went along. And so maybe that was a reacclimation. But also CJ Stroud talking after this game, it did sound like it sounded a little different from CJ from previous where we talked about him finding a way to embrace this offense. It felt like he took another step in embracing what this offense is desired to be.
It really did. And just to answer the question of, like, you know, what you thought of CJ Stroud, early on, as we've talked about, I think he reached a point where he just kind of on the sideline or whatever, he just kind of had to reset. I think early in the game, and I don't know how much of this you guys noticed, even his facial expressions and body language kind of reverted to the Stroud that was struggling earlier in the year. Woo. And then that was gone. So he almost had to, like, it looked like he was trying to do too much, as you kind of pointed out there. He was a little frustrated. Body language, that whole thing. And then at some point, he just sort of reset and said, oh, yeah, we need to do this a particular way, and I will still get my shots. And he did. So for however that you want to describe that, where it was knocking off the rust or just sort of like a, you know, he had a revelation, he did settle in, and I thought he had it. I'm not even going to say, you know, good. I thought he had a very good game, all things considered.
Matt Ryan, who was on, he's on the CBS set. That was basically his, he thought that C.J. Stroud was fantastic in the way that he played what was necessary for the offense. I'm kind of opining on top of what he said. But he basically got to the point where he was like, if they play like this and if he continues to play like this, they can go to the playoffs and make some noise, right? Which obviously is what ultimately everybody wants. This was C.J. Stroud talking about. He was asked about if he felt like the offense has gotten better. And this is something pointing to the idea of embracing the offense for me.
Yeah, I definitely think the offense as a whole, we've gotten better. You know, we found our identity, I feel. And I think, you know, we're starting to play well together. You know, it's a lot of new guys playing together this year. So we're starting to get that chemistry down and that connection. And you can see it, you know, playing and play out, you know, and route detail and, you know, play calls and me getting the play in, organization of the, you know, formations and everything like that. So, I think, you know, we're doing a better job at that, and then, you know, the execution is picked up.
A couple of key things there. What is the identity? I said it earlier, and I'm not going to backtrack off of this because I do mean it in a complimentary way, as much as it doesn't sound like this, like it is. Don't screw up.
Oh,
don't screw
man.
It up. Don't,
hate, hate.
No,
hate,
no, it's not hate.
Hate, hate.
This is the mantra. This is what they would just don't screw it up. Your defense is awesome. Your defense can win a championship. If you don't screw it up, and they were really good the last three quarters, two and a half quarters, you're going to have a good offense. And then the second part, the second level to what
before
just,
you get to the second level, can I add something here? Because I do have a number that I, or a number, some numbers, because I do think that this is it's backed by the statistics of it. The line demarcation being 10 yards, air yards, right? Going in the air. When CJ threw under 10 yards, 16 of 19, 162 yards, and that was 7.5 percentage points higher than expected completion percentage wise. Past 10 yards in the air, 6 for 14, 114 yards. And that was about a 1 percentage point below expectation on completion percentage. There it is, right? Very basically, right? The idea is this thing works a lot better if you can kind of use your short area and, you know, allow that to build. And I think that getting 114 yards deep is still not a bad thing, but I think that the completion percentage looks better if you allow the short to open up the long. And I think that this game saw him kind of resettle back into that. Because I think we've seen him kind of do that earlier on in the season. I think he resettled into that during the course of this game, embracing it. So I'm actually, while I was joking, the idea of
mess it up. Yeah. With as much, you know, respect and love as I can muster, that is their identity. Don't screw it up. Hey, you're good if you don't screw it up offensively. And then the second part real quick that I think is key, and this is very big, it's a word that can cause a lot of eye rolls and be called a cliche and all that, but he said chemistry. He said we're finding a chemistry. That includes offensive line, which, again, a mind-blowing stat. It's the first time all year that he started the same five guys in the same five places in back-to-back games all year. But there's also something else that goes with that. Woody Marks is your running back. You know, they put him out there on one leg, man. That's all you need to know about the confidence that and what they want out of Woody Marks. And then two other players that were very, very big. Dalton Schultz and Jaden Higgins, ladies and gentlemen. They're finding that chemistry with all these guys.
Yeah, the Jaden Higgins thing is interesting there. I think the Dalton Schultz was also a very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. The number was somewhere around like 43, I think, on over-under Dalton Schultz yards. Mm-hmm. And I would have imagined, especially over the last few weeks, that would have been under that number because of the way that Davis Mills is. Yeah. I think that CJ very much clearly has his favorites. 10 targets for Nico Collins, 8 targets for Dalton Schultz. Like, in getting all those yards, it went back up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate what you're saying here is that Jaden Higgins, 5 receptions on 5 targets for 65 yards.
Yeah.
That ticking up is good because we saw the jump in Higgins finding his place in the offense under Davis Mills.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I thought this is like kind of an offensive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we kind of split the difference between is CJ just going to go back to what he did or is he going to implement Jaden Higgins more into this offense? And I feel like we kind of split the difference. He did go back to getting the ball to Nico. Him and Davis have a connection. Him and Dalton have an incredible connection. Mm-hmm. Even Dalton, was it a dropped pass or something that he had? And he just, you know, you see the picture and he's just tapping Dalton on the helmet like, hey, don't worry about it, big dog. Like, they have a genuine affinity for each other. And you see it. It shows up on the stat sheet. But then Hutchinson gets 5 connection, 5 targets. Yeah. That very much felt like a CJ going to his guys. But then Higgins finding more in this offense, I did find that encouraging to continue to build towards an offense that looks like it can handle what it's asked to handle.
Yeah, they have a chemistry, and it starts with the offensive line and Woody Marks. But the receivers, especially Higgins, 5 catches on 5 targets was big for him.
Now, the bad thing,
yeah,
we are back in the place where Jalen Noel, one of the most, if not the most explosive dude on this offense, and I know that sounds crazy looking at Nico Collins, but you've seen what he's done when he's gotten the ball.
Yeah.
1 target, no catches. Right? And there's been instances and opportunities for him. But
Christian Kirk.
One target, no catches. I mean, Christian Kirk got a couple in there. That was cool. But, I mean, where's Jalen Noel at, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, where's Jalen Noel at? And that's the thing that is frustrating, and I think that is some of the CJ going back to the guys
maybe,
that he's
maybe
used
he's
to.
Just not, you know, that in this offense in terms of from scrimmage. You know, maybe they've just decided he's going to be a little bit player and a return guy and all that. I thought that this offense really started to be exactly what they wanted it to be. And that started with CJ Stroud, again, just sort of resetting, embracing what this offense is. You know, it's not the sexiest thing in the world because think about what we thought going into last season, you know, going into the 2024 season. We thought it was going to be lighting it up. The defense was going to be good. It was going to be CJ coming off that rookie year, throwing it everywhere. They've completely changed what CJ is, and I think it's working.
And I think that I think the big thing for me with CJ was it feels like he is embracing. One of the things you know, someone on the text line says he's holding the ball too long, and I disagree with that as an assertion, especially because, and this is more anecdotal, once you saw him kind of miss some shots deep and you saw him kind of try and reel it in, he had some 3-step drops where he's fading as he's throwing the football. Like, not even hitting his third step. He's fading, throwing the football to get it out to Nico Collins quickly on a slant, to get the ball out to the intended receiver in that moment. And it's like, he's so dialed into, I need to get this ball out, that he's not even hitting the top of his drop and then letting that thing go. And so I think that CJ is finding that. But I'm going to go and actually look at the time to throw this week to make sure that I get this right. But it felt like as the game went along, the time to throw was good. And he felt like he was trusting his offensive line.
Yes.
Save for maybe 1 or 2 times where he does try and backtrack out. One of those understandable because the blitz is immediate. And maybe you go throw the football away. But I also go, if the blitz is there under a second, how fair is it to expect you to just dirt it immediately? I don't know. But there was one instance where he takes a sack because he runs out back and he does not help his tackles. Outside of that, he trusted that pocket a lot better than at times he had earlier on in the season.
And we have to give him a ton of credit just because this is not what he expected. As I mentioned, you know, going into last season, this is not how he's wired. This is not what he's, used to. You know, he wants to be able to create plays, to throw the ball downfield, trust the receiver, 50-50 balls, all that stuff. He's rewired himself. And there, he deserves a lot of credit for that.
is this the CJ you want going forward, though? Like, even past this year, do you want this type of CJ Stroud?
The answer is no. I'd rather see the CJ I just described.
I'm happy CJ kind of growing into this different CJ or this different offense, but I can't forget what he did in his rookie year.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because this is not what we expected. It's not him at his best in terms of being awe-inspiring and maybe an MVP candidate and all that. So yeah. I do want to see more of that. I just don't think we're going to.
This year we ain't going to see it. But it kind of bothered me a little bit when you kept saying, don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up.
I'm like, that's what you say to Davis Mills.
I understand
that. That's what you say to those type of quarterbacks. CJ ain't that type of quarterback.
No, he's not. And I want to see that, CJ. We're not going to. And I think you got to give him credit for embracing that role. And at least we're not going to this year. I mean, maybe there's going to be some tweaks and some, you know, obviously personnel decisions, et cetera. But I think, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for being able to embrace something that he's not.
Yeah, the easy answer to your question is no, this isn't quite the CJ that I want to see. Even within the idea of a Patriots offense and all those things, what we were talking about as, I guess, maybe the high water mark or the platonic ideal of him in this offense is being able to, you know, deal and survey and slice up a defense, which I don't think is fully what we've gotten an opportunity to see for him. I don't know how much of that is just offense in general in the NFL is kind of down this year. But I was hoping to see a little bit more of that. I think that there's still room for that to happen, but it does not feel like that's necessarily this year. It feels like it is more of him embracing this and just quick passing, getting the ball out and, you know, finding the moments, picking the moments in some ways. But I will say, there were still moments where you had CJ Stroud making plays. You see him boot out with Laiatu, you know, just,
it's
just
still
bearing
there.
Down on him.
Yeah.
And he calm.
At that moment, I'm like, why are we arguing about Davis Mills? When I seen him make them throws.
Laiatu bearing down. He's got that in him. Makes a pass to Cade Stover first down in a circumstance that very well could have been to throw the football away or take a sack. CJ's still making those plays. It's still within him. And I think that that's why I was encouraged by him seemingly embracing the idea, because he's like, all right, we can do this in order to get the win, and that's what we need to do. Yeah. And I appreciate that he got to that place. But I feel good about him being able to do what's needed to do in this offense. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, you know what time it is. We typically do our lunchtime confessions, and I'll give you a little tease. Some mac and cheese update is coming for you.
Hey.
We'll do all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'll go ahead and get it out of the way. That's my confession. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Aggies and the Longhorns Friday night. First of all, I fully realize I'm surrounded by T-shirt fans, you being one, B. Scott being one, A few others.
Oh, T-shirt Longhorn fan?
Yeah, T-shirt okay. Longhorns. I don't mind that.
I don't even think I'm really
wrong with a T-shirt Longhorn fan, man?
It may be because they just decided to pick a team and they picked that one.
Oh, so they got to go to that school to represent a little bit?
I
take umbrage with the way that you've set this up.
No, but
I'm not a T-shirt Longhorn fan. I just enjoy chaos.
When did you graduate?
I enjoy chaos. I'm not a Longhorns fan.
Where's your Aggie ring?
See, that's why.
But you've said on the record that you grew up and you were a Longhorns fan.
I grew up in Austin, and so I spent at least my high school years in Austin.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was there when they won a championship.
B-Scott and
that mattered
you,
to me.
I get it. T-shirt fans, I don't mind it.
I'm not a Longhorns fan.
Where's your Aggie ring?
I know they walk among us. I'm not passing judgment. All I'm saying is I'm watching this game, and I really didn't even.
If I was a Longhorn fan, would I be a K-State fan?
Well. Depends, when they don't play K-State.
It's very dumb.
So here's my confession. I knew so many of my brethren here were getting a lot of joy out of this when the Aggies, which by the way, I've been saying they haven't played four full quarters all year.
You have.
They played a pretty good first half.
They did.
And I thought, all right, the best second half team, one of the best second half teams in the country is probably going to go ahead and take care of business in the second half. Well, the best second half team was the Texas Longhorns, and I actually am fully, open to and ready to accept all the Aggie hate. It's out there from anyone, et cetera. That's the first part of the confession. The second, I still think the Aggies are in a pretty good spot. I think they're in a pretty good spot here, with a home game against like maybe the ACC champ. And then an Oregon team that has been up and down, if the bracket breaks the way it's probably going to break tomorrow. It hurt. The pain was real. T-shirt fans, take your shot. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
We focus on the playoffs.
You guys know that stuff doesn't bother me. I mean, it hurts to watch the loss.
Yeah.
But that stuff doesn't bug me.
No. The thing that I was thinking about from the Aggie perspective, why was Wisner able to run the football so damn well? 155 yards in that game.
After getting like 12 in the first half.
It brought up a question. As much as we talk about Texas A&M's, their defense being so good, especially third downs and all that, do they have an explosive run play problem?
No. No, they've been really good against it, especially in the second halves of games. UTSA ran in the first half, then shut down. LSU ran in the first half, then shut down. Missouri ran in the first half, then shut down. The script was flipped in this game. Like, I was... I'm always cautious like we all are when you're cheering your squad. Hell, I know Figgy was probably nervous about Michigan early on.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, 100%.
We're always cautious about our team.
Sure.
But at halftime, I was like, feel pretty good about this because they're a second-half team, and the script was flipped.
Yeah, the funniest thing to me is just, like, as good as Texas A&M has been this year, they're still the whole the Aggies did it. Which that was one of the things that we were coming into last week where we're like, oh man, they're not going to do the thing.
Oh,
they
gotcha.
They did the thing.
I
that
didn't
was
really
the thing.
Feel that.
You didn't feel like it was the thing?
Arch was good. The Texas, again, all due credit. Texas, both lines did what I didn't think they would possibly happen in the second half. They, they out-aggied the Aggies in terms of controlling the line of scrimmage in the second half. I mean, that's a true, boy, it hurt. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was
This is not, Texas lines are not where I look at for strength, and they were able to move in a way that was disconcerting.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the game going into the game? Like, did you feel like it was
exactly what I said on these airwaves. Like, I felt if they could just have a good first half, they would win it, relatively comfortably in the second half. And I was wrong because they've done that every game. They've dominated everybody in the second half, like dominate. You remember the LSU game, Missouri game, hell, Notre Dame, even to start the year. But, hey, give Texas credit. They dominated the second half, and I still feel pretty good about things.
I mean, yeah, you should.
Yeah.
I think in this game, you're still going to end up with one of these teams in the college football playoff, and it's probably not going to be the Longhorns, despite...
That's what sucks for the Longhorns.
Despite Sark doing all of this campaigning.
Yeah.
Which he has to do. That is his place in the way that we've situated it. I think one of the things that also makes me laugh in all of this is, told y'all expansion wasn't going to make y'all no happier. I told you. We're in the same place, man.
It's interesting because they, and I said this last week, just being fair to the Longhorns, I thought they'd have a really strong case if they beat the Aggies. I still think they have a really strong case, but I think less that they're actually going to get in now because nobody helped them. Notre Dame didn't help them. Alabama didn't help them. Pick your team that Oklahoma didn't help them. Any of those losses in Texas would have had a bit stronger case, but I think they have a strong case. I just don't think it's going to happen.
All right. We'll talk more about that with college football on a Tuesday tomorrow.
Yeah.
A lot of conversation last week with a confession that I gave on Wednesday. Actually, Tuesday is when I gave it, because last week Mom's was like, you got the mac and cheese. And so I had mac and cheese duty for Thanksgiving.
We all want to know. And I actually figured, I almost texted him.
Really? Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
How'd it go?
A lot of people care in a way that I did not think you would. So I appreciate you caring about me making mac and cheese. I could have just come up and been like, I could tell you how I think it went, but ain't nobody listening to me. So what I did was I decided, of the 10 or so people that I were at my house, or my mother's house, in all honesty, for Thanksgiving, I asked a couple of them. And these two are teenage boys. And I feel like teenagers are going to be, they're going to tell you the truth. They're not afraid of hurting your feelings. So this is my little brother and a family friend who this is their thoughts on Reggie's baked mac and cheese for Thanksgiving.
All right, Nathan, eating Thanksgiving dinner. I made the mac and cheese. It's baked mac and cheese. What do you think?
I like it.
All right.
I was skeptical, I'm going to be honest.
Why were you skeptical?
Let's just say the presentation scared me a little bit.
Oh, okay. So you got jokes. Okay. All right. Five stars.
It was good.
Out of five stars.
For your first time, I gave it four.
Four? All right. All right. Cool. Ronell. You tasting the mac? You had the mac and cheese, right?
I love mac and cheese. It's my favorite.
Oh, it's your favorite. Okay, so I made the baked mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? Review.
At first, I was looking at it, I was like, because I've never seen mac and cheese with that specific pasta. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But the mac and cheese is a 4.7 out of 5.
4.7 out of 5.
If I had some bacon to top it off, it's a 5 out of 5.
Well, I can figure. We got some bacon in the. I got you.
All right, so it was about the presentation.
I guess
the skepticism.
I don't know what that means.
What the presentation was?
I saw a picture. He showed me a picture. It looked like heavy cream.
Yes, and know what? It didn't mix well enough, so I probably needed that. Yeah. That might have been the presentation that they were talking about.
Yeah, it was crusty on top like you want, but there was a little. This sounds bad. It looked a little watery. Is that fair?
It looked like it. It wasn't, but it did look like it. So that's fair. I'll take that. He still gave me a 4.7 out of 5. I didn't understand how that happened. Honestly. I thought I would have given myself a 3.7 out of 5.
Here's the problem now. Now you're going to make it every year.
Yeah.
Yep. It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
You know what I might do? I might make it again and bring it up here so you guys can rate it.
Yeah.
But at least it wasn't a disaster, which was honestly the biggest thing.
So that's good, man. Yeah. That's real good.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was watching the obvious game on Saturday, Ohio State and Michigan. And it was a play where a fella from Michigan ended up getting into the ref's face.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of do a little headbutt. And got a little 15-yard, I think it was a 15-yard penalty. I can't remember how many yards he got, but it was a penalty. Unsportsmanlike conduct or whatever that was. My confession was, I feel like the ref made a good call for not throwing that guy out. Because I feel like just the emotions for this game and everybody was on 10. and like blood was up, I felt like that would have been too trigger happy to just throw this guy out, because I don't think he really meant to hurt the referee. I think he was just kind of turned up a little bit, and it looked bad, and it probably hurt. It looked like it hurt, but yeah. I felt like it was the right call for the ref to just throw a flag and just kind of keep him in the game. If you do it again, then is it, because this is Ohio State and Michigan, and I think it was, like I said, everybody was turned up. I ain't want the guy to get thrown out that early like that.
I heard about this play and read about it, obviously, on Twitter and stuff. I didn't see it in real time. Would you agree with that?
I think
discretion?
So.
Discretion?
Yeah.
That's basically
and
what you're
I think,
saying.
And honestly, it's only because it's this game. If it was like another game, if it was Michigan and Purdue or something like that, and you and this guy did this, I would have been like, nah, man.
Yeah.
Get your ass out of here. Mm-hmm. You touched the ref.
Yes, out of here.
But just this game, man, I felt like all of these players was really turned up, and it was like maybe a million unsportsmanlike conduct penalties in this game.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't just throw the guy out over this, man, because I don't think he meant the head but the ref.
One of the things I absolutely love about a game like this is when you see a decision that makes you think, ref was just trying to get to his car.
Yeah,
ref was like, hey man, getting out of this building might have been tough, might have been rough.
Hey, those Indy refs, I don't know how they got home in that building.
100%. Yeah. There you go. Those are some lunchtime confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. 832 said 4 stars. Okay. Yeah.
That's good, man.
I was impressed that they gave me such a high rating. I don't know why that is, but yes, I appreciate that it happened. And a lot of people giving you hell about that A&M
loss.
Well,
I told him to, so good for y'all.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm good, trust me.
We'll see how good he is.
I ain't going to lie. I was kind of rude. I was kind of sad for you, man.
For me?
Yeah. I know it don't mean anything, but I feel like A&M was having a really good year.
Well, they
and
still
I just
are.
Kinda, yeah, no, I yeah. know. They still are, but I kind of wanted them to, you know, just keep it rolling like that.
And all the Big Brother talk came out.
Well, you know, put it on a banner, because that's the only one you're going to be playing for this year.
Yes, I'm so happy. That's the only thing I really care. I'm happy this rivalry is back.
Yeah.
I'm happy it's back.
All you texters talking about Big Brother, put it on a banner and hang it at DKR, because that's the only one you're still playing for, as opposed to the Aggies, who are still playing for a banner.
I had to
at least defend myself once, right?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
A real one this time, right? Real banner?
They have a real one.
Amongst?
Yeah, they have a real one.
Okay.
No, actually, look it up.
I'm just giving you hell. You're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Having fun because of Victory Reaction Monday. It changes the vibes of everything, doesn't it? Texans get a 20-16 victory. Coming up next, are there any Texans that you'd like to put in here? Who are the winners and losers of the weekend? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. You're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Victory Reaction Monday. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig, rolling with you after your Texans get a 20-16 victory over the Colts. Hand them their first home loss of the season and pull yourself within a game of the top of the AFC South. Actually, funny enough, now held by the Jacksonville Jaguars, the lead in the AFC South. Very
That's
fun.
Nasty word right there.
Crazy, man.
Nasty.
What week is it? 12, 13?
13. Yeah, we're headed into week 14.
That's nasty work.
Wild stuff that's happening. But all right, let's get some winners and losers of the weekend.
Oh, you didn't do the sponsorship.
What sponsorship?
The Lane Kiffin winners and losers of the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Actually, all right, let's do that. The for 1 week only, Lane Kiffin, LSU, winners and losers of the week here in the Loop. But would you consider Lane Kiffin a winner or a loser on the weekend?
Seriously?
Yes.
Winner financially. Loser in every other respect.
Do you think so? Like, there's already people excited. The LSU fans are super excited to have him there.
Again, nothing to do with LSU.
I think he's a culture fit there.
Absolutely.
As much as anyone who is not inherently Louisiana is.
Yeah, yeah.
There. And he's a play caller that I think will fit in their situation.
Yeah.
And I think he can handle expectations there.
Here's the thing. LSU, you are a winner. 100%. I really want to emphasize, it has nothing to do with you. Great job. Lane Kiffin, your bankroll is thick and getting thicker.
He gets to spend time with his daughter, who is dating a linebacker on the team.
Yes, Whit Weeks. But the loser in this is God, and The loser this week is
morality and goodness lost this week because of Lane Kiffin, ladies and gentlemen. Marty Smith is the loser who I had.
He's a winner. He was grinding, man.
I think that he was a loser because his assignment was to get this story, and he had it all weekend.
He did get the interview.
Marty Smith here waiting for Lane Kiffin to give us an interview. It's been 75 hours.
Yeah. No. The loser is God, as I mentioned, and Lane Kiffin in this sense. First of all, regarding God, and I said this earlier, Lane Kiffin said he was going to pray on it. And apparently prayer ended with God telling him to ditch Ole Miss, hold the administration hostage, blackmail the administration, attempt to blackmail the administration and let him coach in there, poach assistants, poach players, et cetera, et cetera. So apparently that was a wild prayer that he had right there, a wild answer to his prayer. And then Lane Kiffin also in this regard. Remember how the lengths to which he went repairing his image and seemingly repairing his image?
After being fired, very young, fired by USC, fired by the Raiders, and then the Tennessee debacle, which was nasty. I don't know how much
that's all out the window. That's
how much
point.
Of this was him trying to repair his image or how much of this was just him trying to get back to the spot? Him at FAU, him at Alabama, all those. I don't know how much of that was him repairing his image or just it took a long time for him to get back to this stage and in taking that time. We did not
but
think of Lane Kiffin.
But efforts were made to have a different Lane Kiffin out there, and now that's all out the window. There's reports. I don't know if it's reports
or
rumors.
Lane Kiffin's been this dude the whole time.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, but he's kind of repaired it, at least public in some regard. Dude got fired on the tarmac, which is all you need.
One of my favorite stories.
All you need to know about what people who deal with him think of him.
Was this the tarmac once he got back to LAX? Yeah, no. This is LAX once he got back.
Yeah.
Because I always, in my brain, I'm always like, wouldn't it have been funnier, though, if they were like, don't get on the plane.
Yeah.
Find your way home. Commercial flights are everywhere, dog.
Lane Kiffin already has been fired on the tarmac and had his clothes left on the sidewalk.
By two different schools.
By two different schools.
Fun times, man.
Two different places. That's all you need to know right there.
How about this as a winner? Figgy, can you give me a little bit of audio assist here? I feel like you could say Woody Marks. I would actually like to say another gentleman on this play.
Mm-hmm. First down at the Colts 42. Stroud under center with Woody in the backfield. They feed Woody again. He redirects left. 35, 30. Makes another move. And down at the 25-yard line, it's Cross with the tackle. But Woody showing you the twitch to get the first down.
Yeah.
Shot through.
Yeah, my bad, Andre. Didn't mean to step on you there. A nice counter play for 16 yards on that play.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of offensive linemen here. So this is the winners, the Texans offensive line. Did you see?
Yes.
Number 69, Ed Ingram. One, on because this is everybody stepping to the right. He has a slanting defender that he does a great job making sure gets to Jake Andrews. So he does that. Then he gets to the second level and he de-cleats the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that this offensive line was going to get to a place where they were de-cleating dudes.
Well, here we are. We've talked about it a little bit already. But they've got consistency in the offensive line for the first time, and it's shown itself.
And on that play, mind you, I said a couple. Also, you had Titus Howard, who step into the right, dude comes in from the left, and he has awareness to look up and go, oh, need to wheel around, wheels around, make sure that backside defender, mind you, is not capable of getting to the play for Woody Marks. Fantastic, fantastic on this offensive line. And that was just indicative of a few plays. They picked up some stunts. They picked up blitzes. This was an offensive line that this was a crowning achievement, I think, for them relative to the rest of the season and what the last few years have been for the Texans on the offensive line. This was a good game for the offensive line. I thought they deserved a little bit of love.
And they absolutely did. I think we'll see it again. And I think they're starting to come together a little bit, which is crazy to say after the way it started.
Can I give one more Texans winner? How about Nico Collins, who is apparently a Indianapolis Colts mercenary.
He's a killer.
He is a killer, right? Yeah. They had Eugene Hilton. Some call him T.Y. We have Nico Collins. In his seven games versus the Colts in his career, he averages just about 19 yards per reception.
That's a joke.
That is sick behavior.
Yeah, that is a joke.
The only other of the 31 teams that he's played against in the National Football League that he averages more yards per reception, the Steelers, who I believe they played once in his time, and then I believe, oh my goodness,
Bills?
It's the Bills who they played twice.
Yeah.
Those are the two.
But
then he's had seven games
to play that
versus
much.
The Colts. And he's like, every time, I'm getting 19 or 20 every time I catch this football.
He's T.Y.
Deal with it.
He's T.Y.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And another one of those games in this one, obviously fantastic game for him. And it didn't even feel like he was, like, late in the game, I think it was the second to last drive, CJ Stroud throws up a one-on-one deep shot. I think it was against Quarters, but he ends up one-on-one because of some good play calling. Play design, and Nico just jumps early and doesn't time. If he identifies that ball well in the air, that's another 40-50 yard play as well.
Yeah,
that you add on top of to the 100-some yards that he had. Nico Collins is an absolute monster versus that team.
Absolutely, Nico right now is actually benefiting from what we talked about earlier with more attention going to Jaden Higgins, Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz, man. He is just having a really good year, all things considered.
He is. He's definitely found a good groove. Also, better in the blocking game than he was. I think there was a lot of questions about him. How about this? Is the loser Frank Ragnow or the Lions? 29-year-old center retired from football at the start of the season, and last week it was reported that he was going to unretire and return to Lions. Then this weekend we found out that he failed his physical. He has a grade 3 hamstring strain.
Yeah. The Lions are the loser. The Lions are the loser here. You know, it's up to him to decide if he wants to play again. And it was a little bit of a surprise, but they are counting on him. And by the way, the Texans are the first team out of the playoffs in the AFC. First team out in the playoffs in the NFC is the Lions. The Lions. So they needed him.
That's kind of shocking.
That's
too.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, their offense has been kind of up and down.
I got one for you real quick because it was a long weekend. And on Thursday, how are we feeling about the Cowboys right now?
That is an exciting team. I don't think that they'll make it, but I think they'll get everywhere but making it in. That 3-5-1 record took them way too far. The defense looks improved for them. I don't know if it's great by any means, but it looks improved. Holding the Eagles and then, of course, the Chiefs, two offenses that, you know, varying degrees of problems there.
How you feel about the coaching hire now? Because I know a lot of people was pointing laughing at their coaching hire.
I raised my hand.
I probably wasn't laughing loud, but I was giggling a little bit.
Schottenheimer has been an offensive coordinator for a long time with that name, a name that rings out in the NFL, and nobody had given him a job. And I was like, why is that?
Yeah.
He's a leader of men. Those guys get behind him. He's always been just a charismatic dude. But I was like, there's clearly something wrong. He's been able to manage what's happening there in the zoo that is Dallas. And he's calling a really good offense. So I got to give him that credit. I think Bryce Young is a winner.
Oh, boy, I'm glad you brought that
youngest quarterback in NFL history to record an 11 game-winning drives already in his career as they do a game-winning drive to go and beat the Los Angeles Rams, who had previously looked at as the best team
in
football.
They're having a good year, man.
They are 7-6, the Panthers are? They're not a great team, don't get me wrong. But I didn't think they'd be here.
They having a good year, man. Yeah. Salute to those dudes who stopped doing that podcast. I'm sure they back doing the podcast.
They said that they were going to come back, and all the fans were like, nah, stay where you been, big fella. Stay where you been.
They've been rolling since.
We're good.
They have been rolling since, so there you go. And then shout out to Tyrod Taylor. A win with six different teams, second only to Ryan Fitzpatrick since 2000, as the Jets got a victory this weekend with Tyrod Taylor. Those were the three wild games. The Texans, the Jets, and the Panthers. Salute to all those. Reminding you that you might think a weekend in the NFL is going to be boring. Any given Sunday.
Never happens.
Any given Sunday. All right, coming up next, let's get to some passing thoughts. We've talked about a lot of things in this game. I kind of want to throw a grab bag of buckets into stuff, including I want to talk more about this Cade Stover tush push thing. We'll do all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.